So again, I welcome everybody to the Carolina Bible Group Bible Study Voice Room this morning. Again, as always, it's my honor and privilege to be with you and to be able to bring you another small portion of God's Word. Again, happy birthday, Dr. Mike, and happy birthday, Carolyn. Get that on the recorder there here for our study number 61 in our series called Paul's Foundations here. And the date stamp for today is going to be October the 13th, 2024. And as I've constantly said, the purpose of this study series is to investigate the various ministries of the Apostle Paul in order to better understand his fundamental teachings through the various dispensations he was involved in. And that brings to mind the conversation I had with Tammy Sauls when she and Tony were here Sunday. She's like, I love going through Hebrews, but I'm ready to get on with the studies in our hope. And I totally get that. I'm like, well, you know, she's got a pretty good point. But I want to make sure that I don't miss any of the really good stuff and the good points regarding the kingdom dispensation prior to ours, because there's a lot in there, I think, that we need to understand by way of comparison. The best way to understand what you have been given by God is, I believe, to compare it with others in other dispensations have been given to God. I believe there's a blessing that comes from understanding the differences in what we've been given and what they've been given. So, that's my big point on that. For our last study last week, we stayed on track with our review of Hebrews by reviewing verses 2 through 6 of chapter 3, Hebrews 3. And again, man, I'm telling you, I've really been impacted more by what I see and what I hear in Hebrews than I anticipated that I would. Hey, Gray, Ella, I'm sorry. I think your girls are here, and I think Tony maybe. So, I wanted to make sure that, or at least project everything forth in a way that maybe everybody could get the same blessing out of it that I've got out of it. Because I certainly, above all, have received the biggest blessing here with regards to the book of Hebrews, for sure. And hopefully that's coming through. Hopefully you're able to understand what I'm putting forth, and I try to put it forth in the light in which it was written, that Paul wrote this book specifically, I believe, to the Hebrews of his day. And morning, Judy. Morning, Steph, Tony. Good to have y'all with us. But I believe Paul wrote this specifically to the Jews of his day. And as we've already discussed, of course, the Apostle Paul's name back in that day was not the most popular guy on the block by reason of his reputation. He said a lot of things, and in converting to Christianity from being a Pharisee, he made a lot of enemies in doing that. So the name of the Apostle Paul in this day in which the book of Hebrews is written was not a very popular name. So I believe that is the biggest reason that he didn't sign this book like he has so many of his other epistles, but he left his name off of it so as it wouldn't drag that reputation along with it into the book. So that's some of what I understand about the book of Hebrews, and the reason that I love the book of Hebrews is it's Paul's one of his last pleas to his own people. Sorry, baby. It's one of his pleas to his last pleas to his own people to turn to Christ. He put forth Christ and him crucified during this kingdom dispensation book, and that's what he wanted. That's what his prayer was for his people to come to the point where they would know and understand Christ as their Messiah. And that's what we're putting forth as we try to teach it. So, So last week we stayed on track with our review of Hebrews by reviewing chapter 3, verses 2 through 6. And so for today's study, I'm going to pick up again with our study in Hebrews 3 by rereading verses 1 through 6 to get the context as we begin. And we'll continue on by starting at verse 7 for today's study. So welcome, everybody. It's good to have you. We started out just me and Lori. Now we've got a table full. So that's a blessing for sure. Let's reread verses 1 through 6. Turn with me, if you would, Hebrews chapter 3. And we'll reread verses 1 through 6, and then we'll pick up with verse 7 and start today's study. Again, Paul to his own Hebrew people is where this is going. He says, "Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling," and we talked about the heavenly calling of Hebrews versus the earthly calling. He had to put that in there so that it was specifically known that there was a heavenly calling. And, of course, we know this heavenly calling to be the heavenly city, the New Jerusalem, that comes down from God out of heaven. When he gets to Hebrews 11, he'll tell you that it's the same city that Abraham looked for. Abraham looked for a city, it says in Hebrews 11, the great faith chapter, whose builder and maker was God. So he says, "Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus." He wanted them to consider Christ Jesus because most of the Jews of Paul's day were not too into considering Christ Jesus. They considered him a heretic. They were glad he was dead. when Pilate made the offer to give up either Jesus or Barabbas, they said, "Give us Barabbas, away with Christ, crucify him." And this was his own people. This was the Jews who handed him over. Paul goes on to verse 2 to say, "Who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house." So Christ was faithful in the house that he was dealing with, which was the Hebrew people, and as Moses was faithful when he dealt with the Hebrew people. And he goes on to say, verse 3, "For this man," talking of Christ, "or this one was counted worthy of more glory than Moses." And for somebody to say to a bunch of Hebrews that this man has more glory than Moses, that's a pretty big statement. Because the Hebrews of this day held Moses in the highest of regard. Moses and Abraham were without reproach when it came to the... if you were a Hebrew of this day, the two big characters in your life would have been Moses and Abraham. So Paul steps up and says this man Jesus was counted more worthy, or worthy of more glory than Moses. Wow. That could have got him in a lot of trouble. Could have got him stoned had he signed his name to it, but he didn't. "He's worthy of more glory than Moses, insomuch as he who hath builded the house hath more honor than the house." See, it was Christ that built everything. From Christ, everything in creation comes. And so he's the one that builded the house. Moses just had control over the house for a very short period of time. "For every house," Paul says in verse 4, "is builded by some man. But he that built all things is God." And you got to remember, we had a little discussion about that. I believe when we went over these verses last week, that, yeah, we've been given the materials by God's creation to build a house. But you got to remember where all the materials come from. You know, it's a reference back to the creator of the universe. The one who created and set everything in motion. Verse 5, "And Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant, for a testimony of those things which were about to be spoken." Verse 6 says, "But Christ as son over his own house," Paul says, whose house we are, talking to the Hebrew people. If, there's a big word there. We're going to see that word "if" again as we go through the rest of our study today. The word if is big, is a big word in any verse. If you don't believe me, look at your wife or your husband and tell them, I would really love you more if. It's everything after that if that they're really going to be listening to, if you think about it. So, or not listening, yeah. So that word if, and like I said, you see it in verse 6 here, and you're going to see it again today. We're going to see it as we, I'm going to try to get through Hebrews 3 today, and Tammy, I'm going to try to speed things up a little bit with regard to the kingdom dispensation, but I don't want to miss anything that's important in understanding what went on in this prior dispensation that we're looking at here, Paul talking to the Hebrews, in the Epistle of Hebrews. So it says, whose house are we if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the telos, the end, the consummating target point is what the word end here means in verse 6. And we're going to see that word telos again today. That's telos in the Koine Greek. You get a lot by going back and looking at what these English words mean that had been translated and rendered out of the Koine Greek, for sure. I always get a big blessing by looking at the real, because in doing that, you're getting the meaning that was originally penned by the author when they wrote it in the Koine Greek. A lot of times the English words take on various meanings and inflections and alternate meanings and various things that kind of taint our view of what the writer was really saying whenever he wrote it in the Koine Greek. So let's pick up our study today with verse 7. And we'll see how far we can get. And I want you right off the bat as you read, I don't know if you've got a companion Bible or not, but if you have a companion Bible, as you look at the scriptures, there's two kinds of text in here. There's regular text in the companion Bible. And then when you see the text in bold font, that means that this scripture that you're reading is quoted from somewhere else in the Bible. That's one of the great things I like about the companion Bible, is that you immediately know when you're looking at a quote. So verses 7 through 11 are actually quoted scripture. It's not new scripture. It's quoted scripture, and it's quoted from Psalms chapter 95, verses 8 through 11. I don't know if you knew that or not, but the note in the companion Bible makes it pretty clear, and we have the bold text. So here to the Hebrew people, it makes a little sense that Paul would be quoting. I'm going to quote you some Old Testament scripture, Paul says, to prove a point. And what he's going to prove here is going to be pretty obvious by the time we get to the end of it. He's making the argument that Christ is the Messiah to the Jewish people. And so he says in verse 7, wherefore, and this is regarding everything we just read, verses 1 through 6, wherefore, as the Holy Ghost said. So Paul is basically telling us the Holy Ghost said it. Yeah, David wrote it in the Psalms. But guess who gave David the words? Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit moved men in the past to write the Holy Scripture. And if you don't believe that, then you need to log into some other room because you're pretty much wasting your time in here. Because I believe it. I believe every word of the Scripture of God breathed. I don't believe that it's all to us, but I believe that it is all for us, and even the parts that are to us are for us, if that makes any sense. The book of Hebrews is for us, for our understanding. It was written to a different people at a different time for a different purpose. But are there things in the book of Hebrews that we can glean? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And you're going to see a lot of them as we go down through it. But I mainly want everybody to understand, using the tools of rightly dividing the Scripture, I can't say that this book was written directly to me because I'm not a Hebrew. But I can specifically say that it was written for me because it's recorded in the Bible. I can go back and look at it. and study it and understand what God was doing with those people and glean from that a difference in what God was doing for them and what God's doing for us today. So with our dispensation, we do have a dispensation. The church, the body of Christ, is to us today. But this is for us. So let's start with verse 7. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost said, and Paul said, the Holy Ghost told David to say this. So I'm going to read 7 through 11 without stopping, because it is a continuous quote from Psalm chapter 95, verses 8 through 11. David said, today. You're going to see that word pop up. And when Paul says today here, he means in the very day that he's speaking. Today. Because you can imagine old Paul sitting at an old table or something with a quill or a pen or whatever he had, and he's writing this out, and he says, today. It would be just like me writing somebody a letter at my table and sitting and saying, today. So it's a very specific time frame here. But the today of Paul's day was over 2,000 years ago as we read it today in our day. So that's what I want you to understand. Paul says, in quoting this, today, if ye will hear or should hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation, in the day of temptation in the wilderness. Ah, now I know what you're talking about, David. Does everybody remember the nation of Israel in the wilderness? Remember Moses delivered them out from under the Pharaoh with a high and mighty arm? God brought them out, right? Everybody remembers the crossing of the Red Sea and the parting of the waters and all these things. And then after that, they what? They wandered in the wilderness. Why? Oh, because of their unbelief. They saw all the mighty things that God did, and yet they wandered and said, why did he bring us out here? Just let us die. We got no food. We got no water. They were constant whiners. Whined about everything. To Moses. Moses, you got to talk to God and do something about this. It's horrible. We had it made when we were in Egypt. You brought us out here and all we do is just wander around in the desert. We're hungry, we're thirsty, we're hot, we're this, we're that, and we're unthankful for the most part. And that's what it was. Paul says, in reminding them what David said about the Hebrew people, he says, harden not your hearts. As in the provocation, the time when the Hebrews provoked God. And when they provoked him, he said, okay, what would take you just a couple of weeks to complete to get over to the promised land is going to take about 40 years. Because I'm going to wait for all you unfaithful people to what? Kick the bucket. I'm going to winnow the flock out a little bit and get rid of all the ones who don't have faith to make the journey. So harden not your hearts as in the provocation, Paul quotes David in saying, in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me or tested me, and saw my works 40 years. They saw God's works. Remember he gave them manna to eat? Everybody remember that story? They had all, God did thing after thing after thing, after miracle after miracle after miracle, and they still didn't believe. Still didn't believe. When your fathers tempted me or tested me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. And he says in verse 10, wherefore I was grieved with that generation. You don't want to grieve God. That's a mistake. And they made that mistake. And in this dispensation, making that mistake could cost you your life. They do not live under the grace of the silence of God like we live under today. It was a different time. Very different time. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart and they have not known my ways, God said. You see the difference? We want our way. We don't care about God's way. That's what the ones who wandered in the wilderness said. We have to be comfortable. We have to be fed. We got to be this. And even after he gave them most of that, they still barely ate. They were bad as I am. complaining about this, complaining about that. And my wife knows. She knows how bad I am. I get really irritated when things don't go my way sometimes. And, well, most of the time. Because I'm as human as these people were. And probably in a lot of ways worse than they were. But grace and thanks be unto God that He has that grace on us. He said, they did err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. Our ways are always different from God's ways. So he says in verse 11, so I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. What was the goal of rest for the Hebrew people that were brought out of Egypt? Where were they heading? Grace, where were they going? Caught Grace off guard. What was the hope of these Hebrew people that were brought out of? What was their rest going to be? What was the telos? What was the end game for the Hebrews that had been brought out of Egypt? To go to the promised land. Remember what God told them? I'll take you into a land flowing with milk and honey, and that will be your land. I will be your God, and you'll be my people. And the people all with the covenant said, yes, God will do it. We agree. We agree to that covenant. God said, which covenant they break. They broke it constantly, day after day, and did not keep their word about what they would do if they were ever allowed to go in the promised land. So, a lot of them, that generation, they died in the wilderness. For a trip that they could have made in just a few weeks, took 40 years. 40 years of letting people die, letting people die, letting people die. And so you see the analogy here. You see what Paul's doing. He's basically telling the Hebrew people of his day, don't just wander around in the wilderness because today is the day of your salvation. You're going to be like your forefathers were if you're not careful. And we'll see that brought forth in the next few verses. So he says in verse 11, so I swear in my wrath. Does God have wrath? Yes, he does. If you don't believe it, ask the people of Sodom and Gomorrah. The wrath of God can be pretty devastating if he so desires it. He swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. And rest in this particular connotation meant the resulting peacefulness that would come from God providing them the hope with which he had promised them. The fulfillment of their promises, in this case the promised land, would have been their rest. It would have been the point where they can say, whoo, sit back and say, thank God we made it. We're rested. Now, they reached the point that the whole trip is all about. You ever feel that way going on vacation or something? Well, you probably felt that way getting here last night, right? Coming up from... Judy came up from Charleston. I think she got turned around in a place or two. But finally getting to where you're going is the rest. It's a feeling of accomplishment and peace. And that's what this rest is. That's what he's talking about. They shall not enter into my rest. There were some that were not going to make it. So let's kind of, when you look at verse 7 through 11 together, Paul here uses scripture given by the Holy Spirit to David in quoting Psalms 95, 8 through 11, and stresses how this applies to the then present Jews of his day as compared to the Jews who died in the wilderness of unbelief. He's like, don't be like them. I'm telling you about the rest that can be in Christ Jesus. And if you don't see that and accept that, you're going to be just like your forefathers who died in the desert. That's what Paul's telling these Hebrew people here. And this entire quote covers, like I said, verses 7 through 11, which is quoted from Psalms 95, 8 through 11. So, very well said, Paul. So after he quotes the scripture from David from Psalms there, he says this in verse 12. And here's basically Paul's warning. Take heed. What do you think somebody means when they say, oh, take heed? Every time somebody leaves the house, I say, I usually tell them, be careful. Because it's, even getting out on my highway anymore here is crazy. We got so much traffic. I used to just go down the driveway and turn and go out. You wouldn't even almost have to look. Never a car back in the early 90s. Boy, it's not that way now. If you do that now, you're going to get creamed by probably at least two cars. And they'll be going well in excess of 50 miles an hour and a 35 mile zone. I mean, it's just the way it is. So I tell them, be careful. It's what Paul's saying here. Take heed. Be careful, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Be careful, brethren. Don't be like the ones that fell in the wilderness that God had wrath on. Do you think there's a coming wrath as Paul writes the book of Hebrews? Absolutely. Because the day of the Lord, the great and terrible second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, as it's described in the Old Testament scripture, was only 40 or so years away, according to the prophecy of Daniel 9. So, yeah, it was kind of imminent. They didn't have a lot of time to get a nation back in line so that that nation could bear fruit for God. But they didn't. They never did. So Paul says, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart. I'm in verse 12, Hebrews 3, of unbelief and departing from the living God. The take heed there, as kind of fitting, is the Greek form blepo, or blepo, in the Koine Greek. And it means the act of, blepo is the act of looking, to look at something. Just like I'm looking at Tony, it's the act of doing that. So Paul said, take heed there. It's like, look, you better look and make sure what you're seeing. Before you can really see and understand anything, you have to physically look at it. I mean, if you don't look at it, and Lori knows this, I go looking for things all the time that I've looked right at and I don't ever see it. I can't find it. And Tony, yeah, Tony raised his hands. He does the same thing. How many of you just look at stuff but never see it? There's a difference in looking at something and seeing something. And a lot of times I look, but I don't see. And Lori gives me great grief about that, and it's all very well deserved. Yeah, it's in you. Yeah, you can look at it, look at it, look at it, not see something. Yeah, exactly. Yep. Yep. Sometimes it happens. Verse 13, Paul goes on and says, "But exhort one another daily." Well, to exhort one another is to encourage, to spread the word. Exhort one another daily while it is called today. You see, he started that quote off from David by, today, David says, if you should hear his voice. So Paul's saying, today, Hebrews, you should hear his voice. There's the, you see the parallel. Paul's putting Christ forth. He's not just talking about going into God's rest now. He's talking about being in Christ to these Hebrews. This beautiful, beautiful parallel that Paul's drawing here. But exhort one another daily, verse 13, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Their own deceitfulness and their own sinfulness kept them from knowing and understanding the Lord Jesus Christ in the capacity that they can believe in him in that day. They could be in Christ in that day, but they had to put all the sinfulness and the deceivableness behind. And that again connects back to verse 7 that we read, where Paul begins the quote from King David in Psalms 95. Then he says in verse 14, It says, for we are made partakers, but it literally should read, for we have become partakers of Christ. Here's that word again, if. You see the if? It's very important. Well, let's read what he says. You know the comparison. You know what Paul's saying. You know how he's trying to lay it out for them and compare the previous time to the present, the then present time that Paul's writing in. He says, for we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. Well, who is the beginning of our confidence? The arche, the architect, the very beginning or origin point is the Lord Jesus Christ. And our confidence there, let me get back to my definition here. I'm in verse 14. That word confidence is the Greek form hypostasis. And it means a setting under concretely, almost like a foundation. So the architect of our foundation, literally, is kind of what Paul's saying there. If we hold that architect of our founding steadfast unto the end, the telos. And telos, as I said, means to set out for a definite point or a goal, the point that you're aiming at. Tony, whenever we sight our rifles in, we shoot at a little dot, and that dot represents our target. That's what telos means in the Greek. That's the point you're aiming at. That's where I'm going. It's where I want to be. It's where I want my bullet to be in our case. Yeah, you got to, that's the focal point. It's what you're looking at. And that's what Paul is pushing here. It's always, you've got to hang, remember, I've said this over and over and over in every one of these studies, going through Galatians, 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians, and now in Hebrews. It's always hold fast until the telos, the target. Keep your path straight all the way to the target. Hang in there for it. Steadfast until the end, Paul says. And there's, remember the if there. He said, we are partakers of Christ if we hit that target. Or if we stay on track till we get to that target. You see, the perseverance there is always in the Scripture. The Scripture does not deal kindly with those that are in and out, in and out, in and out. It's always stand on the path. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence, the Lord Jesus Christ, steadfast unto the end. Verse 15. So Paul goes on to further explain, and I think I got enough time to squeeze this in here. While it is said today, Paul says, while it is said today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. Paul goes on to explain that. He says, for some, verse 16, for some, when they had heard, did provoke. Even though they had heard that voice, they still provoked him. Howbeit, not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. He said, not everybody provoked. Not all of them. Some of them hearkened and obeyed the words of God. Not everybody. It's the way you see it with the nation of Israel. Even when you get to Acts 28:28, and they gave Paul a whole day, and he preached Christ unto the leadership of Israel. From morning till evening, it says, out of the law and the prophets. He preached them Christ out of the law and the prophets from morning till evening. And it says at the end of the day, some of them believe, some of them believe not. But as a nation, they said, Paul, we can't go there. This man is not our Messiah. And they rejected him. And Paul quoted to them Isaiah, the gloom and doom of Isaiah 6, and the nation of Israel, along with the kingdom of heaven, was all set aside and put on hold in lieu of the dispensation of the mystery, the church, the body of Christ that we enjoy today. And so you see that again and again and again, that's what Paul's talking about. For some, when they heard, did provoke, albeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. Some believe not. It's the same story for Israel from their very beginning all the way to their very end. It was the same story. A few believed, some believed not. Verse 17. But with whom, Paul says, was he grieved for 40 years? Who was God angry at, Paul said? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? Those were the ones that had sinned, that said, nope, don't really need God. I can't do his ways because his ways ain't my ways. Who does that sound like? Well, it sounds like old Lucifer in the very beginning, don't it? When he lost his place and position. Good verse. But with whom, verse 17, was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? And to whom swear he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believe not? Yep, Paul, you're right. It was to the ones that believe not that would not enter into the rest. And then verse 19, and I'm done. I got done a little early. Paul says, I have this one highlighted. So we see. Paul says, out of this entire comparison lesson I've just gave you, we see that they could not enter in because of what? Their stinking unbelief. And I added the stinking there. That's my word. Their unbelief kept them from going into to the promised land that God had promised them. Only the ones in Israel who truly believed that it could be done were able to go in and take part of the promised land. Even Abraham himself, even Moses himself, did not get to go into the promised land because of the time that he slipped up with God. God said, nope, can't let you do it. And he died having seen it, but he didn't get to go in. Isn't that something? So God, in his fairness and in his righteousness and in his wrath, is God. And we need to allow him to be God. But I wanted to make sure you understood the lesson that Paul's giving here in Hebrews 3. Man, I got a lot out of this. I hope you did. I hope I was able to convey the joy and the learning that I got out of it by being able to study it and bring it to you guys. And I hope it was a blessing to you today as it was to me. So bow with me, we'll close, and we'll get on with study number two for today. Not sure, I think Coach is up. Mr. Cottrell, Coach Cottrell, I believe, has studied. Yes, okay, thank you, Chico. Study, yeah, Tom.
Focus and pray. Me and you prayed about the four in the woods.
Yep.
I prayed when I got to where I was going to hunt. I prayed the following day in the morning, and I prayed for God to give me peace and just enjoy his creation.
And that's always the best part of it, too. Yeah, it seemed like,
I killed a buck that morning.
I'm not sure they can hear you, but yeah, that's very good, awesome admonition.
Focus and pray. He will give you what you need.
Without ceasing. Yep, I agree. I agree wholeheartedly. Thank you, sir, for that. Enjoyed it, too, by the way. Yeah. Bow with us, folks, and we'll close. Father, again, we thank you for the beautiful day. We thank you for all that have come this way, both here in our home, Father, and online. We pray that everybody received the blessing from the Scripture as I did, because, Father, the blessing to me was without measure. And I thank you for these lessons that we see and that we know and that we understand as we read your word and, Father, glean that from it, that we can glean from it by knowing and understanding from whom it comes. Father, we're thankful for Christ today and for his blood and for the beautiful, perfect sacrifice that he made, as Paul will continue in this book to bring forth once for all. The Christ, as the ultimate high priest, made that sacrifice once for all. Lord, we thank you for that sacrifice and for the far-reaching ramifications that it has, not only in the dispensation we're reading about, but, Father, even in our dispensation, that the blood of Christ is everything to all all dispensations and all times. So God, thank you so much for the blessings. We ask that you would continue to be with those that we mentioned earlier that need a touch from you through the storms. And Father, for all the calamity that comes about the earth, we pray that your hand would be upon it all. And Father, above all, that your will and purpose would be done. Be with us, lead God, bless and keep us, is our prayer in Christ's name. Amen.